Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read verses 44 through 46. I'll read verse 44. You'll join me on verses 45 and 46 together. And that's just better than saying responsively and having to cut in later. Amen. I'll read verse 44 to you. You read with me on verses 45 and 46. And I'll give you just a moment. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. And again, join me on both verses of 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth for joy, thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And let's pray. Father, again, you have been so good to us. Thank you for the spirit of our church and the spirit of your people. God, we need the Holy Spirit of God to come down and teach us tonight. Would you allow the preaching of the Word of God and the Word of God itself to pierce deeply into our hearts, to our minds, and change our life because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Life is not lived in a way that is smooth. Matter of fact, life is, to me, a series of problems. I don't know if your life is like my life, but my life is kind of like living on the ocean. It's always moving one direction or the other and filled full of waves. Have you ever, and by the way, I love being by the ocean. Boy, when we were in South Carolina, my wife would and I would sneak away, and there was a place, Brother Mrs. Hawkins, you know where I'm talking about. Remember where the lighthouse is down there on Sullivan's Island? Man, you could go out there, and at certain times of the year, you were the only people out there, literally. You could walk for miles and not see another human being. It was just amazing. Why? I don't know, but nobody just ever went out there. And I found this little pocket out there, and you could literally go a mile in either direction, 2 miles of beach line there. And if you saw another human being, it was a busy night. And boy, we could go there. And I love the sound of the ocean. I love to watch it. One of the most relaxing things in the world to me is to sit by the ocean and just listen to it and watch it. I could do that by the hour. It's the only thing that guarantees to relax me, as long as I get a cup of coffee. But my life is lived much like the ocean. You know, the ocean never stops. It's either coming in for high tide or going out for low tide. And then the waves are always moving in and out, in and out. Boy, that's kind of the picture of our life, is it not? It's always going one way or another, and it's always got some waves or ripples in it. Now, I'm going to come back to that thought in a moment here. Pearls are one of the most amazing gems found in nature. Now, natural pearls are extremely rare. If you go out to the ocean and pick up an oyster or a clam, you probably have to go through about 4,000 or 5,000 of them before you even find a pearl, if you can find one. And even then, it would probably be a very small one or a very, what they would call, an imperfect one. They just occur naturally, very unusually. Now, they occur, if you'll listen to me for a moment, I'm going somewhere. A pearl happens because a piece of sand or a piece of coral or some type of irritant actually slides into that clam or that oyster, and it gets down below the surface of that clam and gets between the clam and the shell. And what happens is, and I'm not going to use some couth terminology here, but you get almost like a mucus pocket. Teenagers, that means snot. Okay? You get this little pocket that forms around that so that it protects the bottom of that clam or that oyster. And what happens is it begins then secreting this pearly calcium and starts smoothing that out. And over time, it builds up layer after layer after layer after layer, to where when you pull out what is a natural pearl, it has thousands and thousands and thousands of layers of this pearly calcium over it, and that's what a pearl is. Now, basically, this irritant, and for lack of better terminology, gets under the skin of that clam or that oyster and begins forming this pearl. Once the irritant gets there, it forms that pocket, and then it begins, by the way, it gets very, very hard. But because it's smoother than that piece of sand was, or that piece of coral that was very sharp that was irritating it, it just keeps building up and building up and building up and getting larger and larger and larger. Now, there are three types of pearls. I don't know if you knew this, but there are. You have what are called non-cultured or natural pearls. Those are the very, 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 very expensive ones, not the ones you buy. These you don't go to the dollar store and get. These are real pearls. These are the ones that would occur naturally in nature. They are the rarest of all types of pearls. Then you have what are called cultured pearls. If any of you ladies have pearls on tonight, they are probably what they call a cultured pearl. Say, what is that? They get a, now I'll use this term, they get a fake pearl that is just a little smaller than the size they want, and they implant it into a clam or an oyster and leave it in there for a year or so and let it build up that layer of real pearl around the outside so that it has a few layers of real pearl around the outside. The inside is fake, but the outside is real. That's the difference between a non-cultured and a cultured pearl. One is man-implanted, the other is God-implanted, amen? Then you have fake pearls. Those are just pieces of plastic or pieces of whatever, chemically induced pearls that look like a pearl, act like a pearl, but they're as fake as a $3 bill. Those are the three different types of pearls. I see a wonderful truth about life wrapped up in that, especially the Christian life. If you'll listen to me tonight, I think I can help you. There are things that get under your skin. There are things that irritate you in your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to focus on the irritant or turn it into a pearl? Many people go through life irritated and complain about the irritant instead of doing something about it. Now, here's what you don't realize. Why not turn that irritation into something valuable? Most of you, did you ever notice that even in cartoons, an oyster or a clam is generally considered something that is grumpy? They do that because of them making pearls. They have an irritant about them. It gives them a bad attitude, and they get irritated. That thing gets under their skin. I'm watching elbows all over the room, you know? That's funny. Mrs. Hawkins was using hers quite aggressively there. Why not turn that irritant into something useful instead of being just a grumpy old grouch your life? That's not the side you needed on, Doc. Now, let me give you about four or five lessons here that'll help you, and I promise you I won't preach long tonight. Number one, don't reject the irritant. Don't reject the irritant. Now, listen to this statement. I am for avoiding all the problems in life you can avoid. But there comes a point in time in life where you can't avoid it, then don't just reject it. You can avoid going into debt that you cannot pay. But just because you're having a bad month doesn't mean when the bills come that you throw them away and don't look at them. Don't avoid, don't reject the irritant. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Right down where you live, isn't it? Okay? And I'm gonna make a statement here. I'm for schedule. You're looking at a man that lives by schedule. We were joking around last night with some of our friends from Ohio that were in, and I said something. I said, oh, yeah, I said, this happened. And I said, I went back to my office, and about 3 months later, I put on my schedule when I was going to get back at this certain group of people. And their son looked at me and said, you put it in your schedule? I said, yeah, I put it in my schedule. Say why? I said, I'd have forgotten, so would they, but I wasn't going to forget. I said, and the best way for me not to forget was put it in my schedule. He said, you actually put into your schedule when you were going to do what you were going to do? I said, sure did. I said, I live by schedule. He said, that's weird. His mom looked at him and said, oh no, that's why he gets done what he gets done. And may I say this, I'm for planning your life. I'm for planning your schedule, but not everything in life is planned. You're going to have things happen in your life. And if you let that change in schedule bother you so bad and irritate you so bad, guess what? You're going to live a grumpy life. Yes. You know, I joke about this, and I don't mean this unkindly, so it's, don't take this the wrong way, but people don't get hurt, don't get sick, and don't die at good times for me. Most people don't die, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's usually 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, they don't die at convenient times. You know, people don't have traffic accidents on schedule. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, those things don't come because you scheduled it to happen. All right, it is March 17th tomorrow, time to have a car accident. I'm going to sit here till I have one. Okay, you don't plan those things. They creep into your life, and if you're not careful, you'll get so dogmatic about your schedule that you'll live a grumpy life because everything will irritate you. Yep. I'm for rigidity of schedule, but not to the point where I kill everybody around me. Okay? Versatility, well, let me show you what I mean. Versatility with our special music. I could allow our special music to drive me insane. We've had schedule changes. I had schedule changes today. Mrs. Williamson's great-grandmother passed away. She was scheduled to sing tonight. I had to call Mrs. Howard this week and say, help! Now, I could let that irritate me, or I could turn it into something that God used tonight in a very special way. Say, did you let that bother you? Not that long. Not that long. My secretary will tell you, I didn't fret over it. I just wanted to make sure it was cared for. You take a month of specials. I'll promise you, in any one month, I've changed 3 specials every month at least once. It just happens. People get sick. People in families pass away. This happens or that happens. Snowstorms come. And song leaders don't show up to church. And then the pastor's got to do it. That becomes an irritant. No. May I say something? If you get so rigid in your schedule, now there are some things, and by the way, you don't get mad at your boss because you're supposed to be at work at a certain time every day. You say, why do they do that? Because that's how they get production out of people. Schedule's a good thing. By the way, that's why you're supposed to be there on time. I start church on time. Whether you're here or not, we're starting church on time. Say why? Because we're going to start church on time. This is God's business. We're going to start it when we're supposed to start it. You know, if you're not careful, you'll focus on what irritates you so much that you miss living your life. Let me ask you a question. When there's a schedule change, how bad does it affect your family? My wife and daughter know I hate being just a second late. If I'm not an hour early, I'm late. Now, I'm barking orders. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I've already told my daughter what time we are leaving tomorrow morning. I told my wife what time we're leaving tomorrow morning. I know exactly what time we're leaving tomorrow morning. And my wife, very wisely, what time do you need everything ready so that we can get the van loaded? I already know what time I told them. Can I tell you why? I don't want to be irritated tomorrow. And I won't be. If you decide when you're going to leave, that's when you leave. You schedule everything. By the way, I'll leave early enough to meet where I'm supposed to meet and not be late. It's not to where I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Doesn't matter what the weather is. I'll be there on time. Say why? Because that's the way I live my life, and I'm happy that way. But guess what? If I get halfway there and get a flat tire, I'll call Mrs. Barnes to fix it for me. You know, there's just some things that you can't schedule out of it, but you can live your life so miserable, but that everybody around you is miserable. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me ask you a question. When something irritates you at work, do all your fellow employees hate being around you? There are things that irritate me in life. Can I tell you something? I'm not supposed to take it home and irritate my family with what irritates me. Fellas, if something bothered you at work, guess what? It's not your wife's problem. It's not your children's problem. It's your problem. Deal with it and don't take it home. Period. I tell people this all the time. I don't go home and tell my wife everything that goes on in my office. Matter of fact, she finds out when you find out. You say, why? She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. Amen. If you counsel with me in my office, I don't tell my wife what we talked about. I know that surprises some of you, but you can ask her. She'll tell you. I don't know. You have to go ask my husband. I have no idea what you're talking about. Say why? Because she doesn't. I don't take your problems to my wife. You say why? She's got to be there to pick me up because I'm depressed. If I depress her, I got nobody to pick me up. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, it's not her load to carry. It's my load to carry. I don't need her carrying the load. God didn't call her to pastor this church. He called me to pastor it. It's my job to carry it. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Just because you're irritated doesn't mean everybody else around you needs to be irritated. Some of you get irritated because other people aren't irritated at what you're irritated at. Can I tell you something? I don't care what you get irritated about. It's not going to bother me. You're not going to affect my spirit at all. I'll laugh at you, matter of fact. I love watching people. I like going to an airport. And just watching people, I can laugh at people getting mad. It's hilarious. They get mad over the stupidest things. I got to go on. Number two, don't let the irritant destroy you. Let it make you become something of more value. Don't let that thing that irritates you destroy you. Let it make you become more valuable. Do you realize that some clams and oysters, when that irritant gets in, they literally kill themselves because of it. They work so hard at trying to push it out that they've literally, and often this will take place, they literally come out of their shell and turn inside out of their shell and destroy themselves by trying to get rid of the irritant. That's about like the average Christian. They're focused so much on the irritant that if they would just let it settle for a while, God will naturally take care of it and cover it and won't hurt as bad. It may not leave, but it won't hurt as bad. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Going somewhere. Some people destroy their marriage by picking at that thing that irritates them so bad. Who cares if she squeezes the middle of the tube or the end of the tube of the toothpaste? My wife and I settled that. You get one of those things that, you know, plastic things that pumps it, you don't have to squeeze anything. You just push down on it. Amen? I'm one of the, and by the way, I've watched people argue over which way the stupid toilet paper's got to hang on the roller. As long as it's there, who cares? If you don't like it, turn it around yourself. You know, we pick at each other over the stupidest things. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun tonight. I have watched people argue and fuss over stuff that silly. You argue and fuss over, you got Diet Coke over Diet Pepsi. Well, if it's that important to you, you stop and get it, and you do the shopping next time. Everybody doing all right? Maybe I just live in a different world, but can I tell you something? I'm pretty happy. My wife, there's only one thing that irritates my wife real bad. She'll ask me, what do you want to eat? Whatever you make. That irritates her. I don't tell her any of my preferences. You say, why? My preference is whatever she makes. I could eat the same meal every day, twice a day. It does not bother me. If she made it for the next 5 years, I wouldn't say one word. I didn't have to make it. And by the way, I wouldn't get tired of it. I really wouldn't. Now, she would. I wouldn't. You say, why? That's her area, not mine. Now, there's times we'll discuss things, and sometimes I'll eat. She'll tell you, I'll eat anything she puts in front of me. I don't have to like it to eat it. I can get it down the hatch. There's very few things in this world I won't put down the hatch. I don't have to like it even to eat it. I don't even know what it was, but a couple of years ago, we ate something, and one of my kids was getting older. He said, Mom, I just don't like this. I said, shut up and eat it. I don't like it either. I thought, she said, all these years and you never told me that? I said, I didn't need to. And that one slipped out. I said, just because I don't like it doesn't mean I don't eat it. I don't even remember what it was, just so you know. And she might remember, but I don't. I have no idea. She said, we've been married almost 20 years, and I didn't even know that. I said, so? Covered it up well, didn't I? Blew it on that one statement, man. You know, some of you are going to ruin your children by picking them to death. Now, every child in the world is going to irritate a parent. Trust me. But some of you nitpick at your kids. And some of you are going to pick them to the point, why not turn it into a pearl? Amen. Do you know that God did not make them to be you?
Right.
He made them to be them.
That's good.
And some of you are forcing your child to be your clone. That's not what God intended. The more you build layers of protection over what irritates you, the more valuable you become. The more you can endure that irritation without destroying yourself and without irritating everybody else, the more valuable you become. Can I tell you something? Men, you want a happier wife? Whatever irritates you about her, start building layers of protection around yourself. Quit letting it irritate you and watch how happy your marriage could be. Some of you are messing your marriage up because you're nitpicking in one little area and you see it affected in another area and don't understand why this is so bad. And I'll tell you why it's so bad, because you're nitpicking over here. Build layers of protection around that to where that doesn't bother you, and this will pick up, I promise you.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
By the way, quit shutting people off. Some people, I'm not talking about go into seclusion and isolation because somebody irritated you. It's not the silent treatment. The silent treatment is for babies. If you had two children that were giving each other the silent treatment, you'd put them in the same room, make them stare at each other, make them talk to each other. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Then why do mommies and daddies act that way to each other? You're supposed to insulate yourself to keep those sharp edges from cutting you. But that doesn't mean you shut everybody off. God gave you a natural protectorate to cover that up with. You say, what is that natural protectorate? It's called the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's called the Word of God. And you use those two things in your life to cover those irritants. Hey, can I tell you something? There are things in life that irritate me. I can put up with a lot. Bad business people bother me. Oh, I can put up with a lot. But you give me somebody that's doing crooked or bad business, especially when it comes to God's work, that makes me want to spit nails. Say why? It just bothers me. It bothers me when I hear people criticize a man of God, and I don't care who it is or for what. It just, I come unscrewed. You say why? Because that really bothers me. The more layers of protection that you put around that irritant, listen to me, the more valuable you become. Instead of fussing and feuding, why don't you turn it into something more valuable? Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, that which irritates you today may become your pearl of great price later. Do you realize some of you have lived enough life to where what used to irritate you, you've learned how to accept it, and it no longer irritates you? And it has become a pearl of great price in your life.
Amen.
I'm watching some older couples back there, and they're going like this. Can I tell you why? They've learned some valuable truths. What they may not have, what they didn't accept maybe earlier in their marriage, they learned how to accept. They've accepted it, built those layers of pearl around it. And guess what? Now you look at them and think, man, they never had that problem. And they're sitting under the breath going, we fought over the same stupid thing.
Yep.
Say why? They've turned it into something valuable, not let it irritate them the rest of their life. I don't know what got us on this stupid topic today at lunch, but we started talking about, I know what it was, Jeannie's mom is getting older and she's about 85. She's lost that personality filter. She's one of those people now that whatever she's thinking, you're going to hear it, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. You know, the family word is mom filter, mom filter. So now she says, can I ask this? Can I say this? It's great. But we were talking about it. My, you know, I have two grandparents that died when they were 89 and 90. I have another one that she's 95, almost 96. And some aged more gracefully than others did. And my wife says, can you prevent becoming grouchy and mean and nasty when you get old? You know, and that's a good question. We got a long way to go, honey. Don't worry about it. And I plan on dying before you get there, so don't worry about it. But, no. But can I tell you something? And I really believe this. I believe how we live our life now determines how we are then.
Yep.
I believe some got saved later in life, and they lived a pretty rough young life. And if you're not careful, when you lose your mental faculties and you're no longer, you know, the lights are on and nobody's home, you might end up being ornery like you were when you were young just because you did that. But I think some of those that didn't live that way, you don't have that tendency to become mean and nasty. I believe it's just part of your character that comes out. Now, that doesn't mean it's all of your character, but I believe that does happen. Everybody doing okay? Man, do I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Some of you are in a lot of trouble if you lose your mental faculties. You know, the child today who drives you nearly to the rest of the way to insanity may one day become your greatest blessing.
Yes, sir.
That junior hire that you're about ready to choke could become your greatest blessing one day. That young adult that seems to be irresponsible, like they learned nothing while they lived in your home for 18, 20, 21, 22 years. Where did this child come from? We didn't teach them that. Can I tell you, someday may become your greatest blessing. That husband who, ladies, I'm helping you on this one, all right? That husband that wasn't house trained when you got him could become your great pearl of great price if you train him right. Everybody doing okay? I wasn't talking about some of the training that you're thinking about right now, but that wife who does not think and analyze like a man may one day become your rock and foundation that you need because of your overanalyzation. Fellas, you didn't marry her to be another man. If you did, something's wrong with you. Quit making your wife think like a man and get upset when she doesn't. God did not make her to think like you think. God gave you the brain to think the way you're supposed to think and lead her when she doesn't. Boy, that's good stuff. But by the way, if you'll listen to her every once in a while, that softness that she has may temper you to the point where you'll make better decisions. Can I get an amen? That job that you're ready to quit may be the avenue by which you become a pearl of great price. You might not see the way up right now, but God may use it as a way up.
Yes, sir.
That bad relationship or that one that just ended may be the catalyst to the one that you hope for. Everybody doing okay? All right, number four, I got to hurry. Listen to this. I put this at the end on purpose. Whether the irritant is natural or man-made, it can still cause you to be valuable. Did you catch that? Whether the irritant is natural or whether it's man-made, it can still allow you to become a pearl of great price. I'll use Brother Lowther. His MS is not man-made. That's a natural occurrence. Can I tell you something? It's become a pearl of great price. I wished you knew the number of miracles that family gets to live. Now, they pay a price to live it, trust me. You ought not volunteer for something like that. Oh, you're not real bright. But may I say this, that natural irritant has become, in some ways, a pearl of great price. But God can use you and make you valuable even if you force the irritant in yourself. Some of you had a bad marriage and it ended in divorce. But you're married to a godly person now and it's become a pearl of great price. You had a bad irritant, but you used it instead of getting bitter over it. God turned it into something that became a pearl of great price to you. Boy, that is a wonderful thought, is it not? Amen. You know, some of you made mistakes as a young person or a young adult. Some of you made bad mistakes, but you've been able to use those to help others not make that mistake, and you become a pearl of great price. What a wonderful thought. Some of you used to smoke. And God helped you get out of that. Guess what? You turned something bad that was man-made, turned it into something good to teach others not to do it.
Right.
Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Church is the place to grow, to learn, and mature so that you can use that which irritates you today to turn it into something valuable tomorrow.
Boy, that's good.
My wife will tell you, many areas of my life I'm patient in. But some areas, I have zero patience. And I got to work at it. I'm just as impatient as others. Now, some areas, I'm very patient. I'm probably more patient with everybody else's faults than I am my own. My own faults, I have no tolerance for. None. Now, wait a minute. Church is the place we learn to take those man-made ones. And instead of getting mad and leaving church over it, we stay there and get the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to build up those wonderful layers around it and teach us how to accept it and go on and use it and become more valuable because of it. Hey, ladies, he's stubborn. Can I tell you something? If he'll get that stubbornness turned in the right direction, that's a good thing. One of my boys... I'll tell you which one. I'm not afraid of it. It's Josh. I always said he's going to be either the next Jack Hiles or Jack the Ripper. And for a while, I wasn't sure which he was going to end up. And for a while, he was on the other side of that thing, I promise you. And I kept telling my wife, honey, if he ever does go all the way for God, I almost feel sorry for the devil. I almost feel sorry. I've told you that, Brother Mike. He called me this afternoon. Dad, one of his bus girls passed away this morning. Hard. He said, Dad, we had 49 on the bus, 6 visitors, and 3 saved today. He said, I got the devil back. Whew. Told you I feel sorry for the devil. He is so gung-ho loaded, I almost feel sorry. Now, we weren't sure if he was going to fight God that way for a while. And by the way, he did. Can I tell you something? He's not now. He's not now. That thing that irritated me, that stubbornness that he wouldn't listen, guess what? Once he got it pointed in the right direction and under the right harness, look out, devil. Look out. He's plowing the field. And by the way, Some of you walk around with a fake pearl thinking you're a super spiritual Christian. Some of you need to quit faking it and just accept the irritation. I'm done. Let me give you one thought here in conclusion. I was thinking about this topic and I had a little bit of a mini spell in my office. The word pearl only comes up about 12 times in the Bible. Several times it's in the book of Revelation about a place called heaven. When we enter heaven, there are 12 gates in heaven, of which each of the gates are one giant pearl. Listen to this. This is going to make you shout. I believe, and by the way, you can't get into heaven without passing through that pearly gate. Listen to this. I personally believe, though it's not found in the Bible, this is my opinion. But it's my opinion that these are pictures of our salvation. Because the irritant of sin had to be covered by Jesus Christ. And he built up those beautiful layers of protection over our sins so that we could enter in. Can I tell you something? When we walk through, we're going to see what irritated the Savior and look at that as beauty. Just remember, it's your sin that caused it. It was an irritant that God turned into something called the gates of pearl. What a wonderful picture. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus, our protectorant, our pearl of great price, did for you and me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who in here tonight would say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I know 100% for sure. I don't have any doubt at all that I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Brother Bush, if I died tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? "I just don't know for sure." God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. In a moment, we'll take the Bible and show you if you don't know for sure. Maybe you need to come to this altar and take that which irritates you and give it to God. Maybe there's a sin in your life you need to start giving up. Well, come to God, give it up, and start working on it. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to join this church. Whatever it is, you come.